Can you think of any book that would be worth dying for? Oh, men have died for the Bible. I'm not talking about those who lived during the time that the Bible was written, but I'm talking about men who lived hundreds of years later, but were willing to die in order to make the Bible known to many people. The Bible is such a precious book, but do we actually learn from it? That's our topic today. We hope that you'll stay tuned to Truth for the World.
The Churches of Christ bring you Truth for the World. And now, Paul Meacham, Jr.
Thank you for joining us today on Truth for the World. We're going to look at the third lesson in our series about God's Word. In previous lessons, we've asked the questions, does the Bible really matter? Many of us today treat the Bible like it doesn't count anymore. It's an old book for an old time, and it doesn't address our needs. We've also asked the question, can I trust the Bible? Are the words that I have here before me, although not in their original language, and although separated by time, are they trustworthy? And we said yes, that because they were inspired by God, preserved by God for us, and then translated faithfully into a language that we can read, we can, in fact, trust the Bible as God's Word. Today, as we continue this study, we ask the question, do I actually learn from the Bible? Do I learn from God's Word? All of us learn things. In fact, it's simply not possible to go through life without learning. But are they the right things that we learn? Are the things that we learn profitable for us? Are they from God's Word? Psalms chapter 119 and verse 12 says, "Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes." We must want to learn from God's book. We must want to learn what He has written for us. Because you know, as wonderful as this book is, and even though we do now know for sure that it is inspired of God, it is not of help to us if we will not be taught. Notice the words of the psalmist, chapter 32, beginning in verse 8. "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go." This is God talking to His people. "I will guide you with my eye." See, we can't see like the Father sees. We should trust His eye. Now notice the warning. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. See, God is telling us we should be led by Him, but in being led by the Father, we should be led by His teaching. It shouldn't become necessary for God to harness us in, to bridle us in and pull us into submission. Rather, we should bend to His teachings. We should be taught by His Word. We should also understand that God is not going to teach us by some irresistible force. He's not going to do something to us that makes it impossible for us to ignore His Word. It has always been the case that the spoken Word must be accepted. And there's a very important word. It must be accepted by the hearer. The one hearing the Word must actually listen to it and accept that. Notice, if you would, Acts chapter 16 and verse 14. Paul arrives in the city of Philippi and preaches to a woman named Lydia. We read in verse 14 that she was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, and she worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. Now, notice a couple of key words in that verse. First of all, she heard their preaching. Second of all, she gave heed to the things spoken by Paul. Now, there are many who want to key in on that phrase that the Lord opened her heart. And they say, you see, this is the irresistible force of God. God made her receptive to it. That is not what that verse says. Notice a couple of other passages. The Bible is perfect in its unity, so it cannot contradict itself. Look at what we're taught in the parable of the sower from Matthew chapter 13. We read in verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom, now here's a person who's hearing. What did we say about the hearer? The hearer must accept. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away that was sown in his heart. Now, what was it that was sown in his heart? Was the Spirit put in his heart? No. Did God come down and work directly on his heart? No. Rather, they take away what was sown in the heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. What's the seed? That passage tells us that the seed is the Word of God. It is the Word that's taken away. When we hear and we do not accept and understand what's taught, then Satan comes along and snatches away the Word. Because the Word left in our heart will take root and it'll grow. See, God wants all of us to be saved. So it's not a case of God working directly on someone's heart and forcing us to learn. Rather, if that was the case, all would learn. Notice 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If it were just a matter of what God wanted to happen, we would all learn, and we would all be moved to repentance. That's what God wants for us. But it takes acceptance on the part of the hearer. Now the question comes to us now. What are some of those things that would stop us from learning? What are some of the things that would hold us back? The first is prejudice. That is judging ahead of time. That's what it means to be prejudiced. Oftentimes we may approach God's Word or a study of God's Word with an idea, and we hope that God's Word supports our idea. Notice what the psalmist said, chapter 119 and verse 18. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. Don't close my eyes. Don't allow me just to sit back and assume that it's going to say what I want it to. But open my eyes. Let me approach God's Word with honesty and an open heart. Not with prejudice, just trying to prove my own point. Secondly, what about our pride? Oh, pride can get in the way. Psalms chapter 119 and verse 21 says, "You rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments." When I put myself above God's commands, I put myself in the way of learning from God's Word. Pride gets in the way. Thirdly, compromise often falls in the way. We will hear something and we know it's the truth, but it doesn't agree either with what I wanted to hear or with what someone else has told me. And then I begin to compromise what the truth is. I begin to compromise what I should do, and by doing so, stop myself from learning what I should know. Psalms chapter 119 and verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." This tells us that we should take God's word as it comes from heaven. Therefore, we should not be willing to compromise it for anyone or for any reason. And if we are compromising it, that stands in the way of us learning what God would have us to know. We also see that if we fail to apply what the Bible says, that stands in the way of our learning. Psalms chapter 119 and verse 59 says, "I thought about my ways." Well, that's good. But notice the application. "And turned my feet to your testimony." Oh, it's good to meditate, to think about God's Word. But it's better, after having done so, to then turn our feet to walk the path that His law points out for us. For application is part of that learning. And if we do not apply what we have learned, then we lose it. And it stands in the way of our learning God's Word. Again, if we lack the diligence necessary to study God's Word, then that stands in the way of our learning. Psalms chapter 119 and verse 97. "Oh, how I love your law! It is my meditation, notice this, all the day. Why? Why would he spend all day studying and meditating on God's Word? It was in the first part of that verse. I love your law. That's what prompts us to put in the time necessary to actually study and learn from God's Word. Notice also, if you would, Psalms 119, beginning in verse 147. He says, I rise before the dawning of the morning, and I cry for help. Notice, I hope in your word. Why? Why up so early before the dawn? Notice this. My eyes are awake through the night watches, that I may meditate on your word. Not only is he up early, but he's up late. He spends that time, those precious hours in morning and night, meditating on God's Word. But this meditation is not to be understood to be something that is merely a passing thought, but rather this is actually studying and reading and learning and finding ways to apply that Word in our lives. Additionally, if we do not have respect for God's Word, respect for Him, then that stands in the way of us properly learning God's Word. Psalm 119 and verse 128 says, Therefore all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. Pause right there for a moment. Did you notice the words all? Therefore all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. I hate every false way. God's way is right, and it's right every single time in every single way. And if we don't have that respect for God's Word, it will hinder our learning. But what if we do learn God's Word? What if we do apply ourselves with diligence and thought, without compromise, without prejudice or pride? What if we do work at God's Word and learn from it? What can we expect? What can we expect from this book? We can be expected to be blessed because the Bible blesses the doer of God's Word. Notice, if you would, that we have the blessing of grace. From Psalms chapter 119, beginning in verse 76. Let, I pray, your merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to your word to your servant. Let your tender mercies come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. We can expect grace, the tender mercy and goodness that comes from our God. Additionally, we can expect mercy from God. Notice Psalms chapter 119 and verse 58. I entreated your favor, your mercy, with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to thy word. It is God's word that will bring us mercy. We also find there cleansing. Psalms chapter 119 and verse 9 asks the question, How can a young man cleanse his way? The answer, by taking heed according to your word. Additionally, God's word, a study of it and learning of it, blesses us with self-control. Now, God's Word is very important in telling us what we should do if we sin. It tells us how God has provided for the forgiveness of our sins. But more importantly, there is an element of self-control to God's Word. Notice, if you would, Psalms 119 and verse 11. Your Word have I hidden in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against you. You see, there's an element to self-control. If we know and we take God's Word and we put it in our heart and we learn it, there's a blessing of self-control there, something that will help to keep us out of making those mistakes, committing those sins. God's Word also strengthens me. Notice, if you would, Psalms 119 and verse 28. My soul melts from heaviness. So what's the answer? Strengthen me according to thy word. Make me stronger by thy word. God's Word also blesses us with righteousness, for it is in and of itself righteous. Notice Psalms chapter 119 and verse 40. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. A blessing we have if we will but learn God's Word. Also, God's Word brings us unspeakable joy. Notice Psalms 119 and verse 111. Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. God's Word is not given to us as something to burden us down. We are taught in the New Testament that the commandments of God are not grievous. They're not something that's difficult or heavy or too hard to bear. Rather, they are joy and rejoicing. It's the Word of God that gives us hope. Psalms 119 and verse 49 says, Remember the word to your servant, upon which you have caused me to hope. You see, we have hope through God's Word. It is through God's Word that we are freed from our sins. Psalms 119 and verse 133 says, Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Don't let sin rule over me. Set me free from it by thy word. This is what brings us salvation. Psalms 119 and verse 41 says, Let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. Friend, think about this a moment. If someone is trying to preach to you a way of salvation, but it doesn't come from God's Word, then two things are true. Number one, it's not God's salvation, and it's not according to God's Word. If we are going to receive God's salvation, it's going to come according to God's Word, not the Word of man. We need to be very careful when we try to learn what to be saved, that we do it according to what God has commanded, and not according to the word of man. All these things then bring about peace. Of all the things that man wants, peace is probably at the very top of the list. Oh, we think it's money or fame or fortune or happiness, but the bottom line usually is peace. And that comes to us from God's Word. Psalm 119 and verse 165. Great peace have those who love your law. Not just peace, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. If we love God's law and we live according to it, we will stand, and we'll be able to stand forever because we're standing on the principles and the promises given to us by God. Let's wrap all of this up in one short passage from the New Testament. There are many blessings that come to us from God's Word, but there's only one place where we find all of God's blessings. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. That's where the blessings are. The blessings are in Christ, and it's only in Christ that we can benefit from all the spiritual blessings. But how do I get in Him? Well, that's very important to understand. For the Bible only teaches us one way that we can go from being outside Christ to inside Christ. Romans chapter 6 and verse 3 says that we are baptized into His death. That's a very important word, that word into. It means moving from the outside to the inside. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27 says, For as many of us have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. That's how we get into Christ. Have you been baptized? If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, are willing to repent of your sins and confess His name before men, then you are eligible to be baptized into Christ, to enter into that place where there is all spiritual blessings. This is our prayer for you. for we want nothing more than your salvation. Till next time, this is Paul Meacham, reminding you that God's Word is the truth for the world.